May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Who do people say that I am? Names carry meaning, and biblical names often meant the character of the person or perhaps their status. And if there was a name change, like there was when Yahweh changed Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah, it meant a change of responsibility, a change of character. There was something new that was taking place. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about Joseph. And Joseph has a name that would immediately bring to mind the things that he did and what happened to him. You remember the story that we've been having over the past few weeks about Joseph and how he had a gift for dream interpretation, and his brothers resented him greatly. They were very jealous of him because he was the favored son of Jacob. So they wanted to do away with him and were going to kill him, and then decided to sell him to slave traders. He was sent into Egypt and sent into enslavement in Egypt. Well, his life got even darker when he was in Egypt because he was falsely accused of a crime and put in prison and literally forgotten while he was in prison. But he exercised his gifts even in prison. And because of that, the Pharaoh needed someone to interpret a troubling dream that he had had. So Joseph, his name, came to the attention of Pharaoh, and he was able to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh recognized that this young man had great wisdom, and because of the dream, he learned that there were going to be 7 years of prosperity in Egypt and 7 years of famine. So he put this Joseph in charge of administering what was going to be happening in the gathering up of the grain, in the 7 years of prosperity, in the distributing of the grain, in the 7 years of famine. Joseph was literally the savior for the Egyptians, but also for his own family, his ancestral family, because they were allowed to come in to Egypt to protect them out of gratitude for Joseph. They were immigrants. Well, years passed, 400 years passed, and Joseph's name was forgotten. There was a new Pharaoh, a new king that had taken over. He did not know anything about Joseph. He was in the dark. But he noticed that these immigrants had increased in number, and he became alarmed. So he worked out a scheme that he would put them into heavy labor. He would enslave them. And that didn't work. So he came up with an even worse scheme, and that was to have the baby boys killed at birth. But Yahweh thwarted his plans. And Yahweh used a community to do that. The midwives, the mother of this little boy, the sister of this little boy, the daughter of Pharaoh. This little baby was placed in a little ark, a little basket, and placed in the reeds. And the daughter of Pharaoh rescued this baby. And in a private joke in scriptures, the sister of this baby said, "Oh, do you need someone to nurse the baby?" And she went and got her own mother to nurse her own baby, and was paid for doing so. This baby that was pulled out of the water was named Moses, and Moses' name is synonymous with the rescue of the Israelites that were enslaved. Yahweh used Moses to draw out his people from enslavement and take them to the promised land. The name of Moses. In our gospel account today, we have this time in which Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he asked them, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, the Son of Man was a favorite term that Jesus used for himself. Who are the people saying that I am? And so they answered with the various suggestions of the people. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They were in the dark. Then Jesus got personal and he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter being Peter, Simon at this time, although in scripture it says Simon Peter, Simon says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus recognized that Peter didn't, Simon didn't come up with that name on his own, that God had revealed that to him, revealed the true nature of Jesus. Jesus, whose very name means Yahweh saves. And when Peter recognized Jesus in his true nature, then Jesus told Peter what his true nature was. He was called Petros, rock. And he said, and on this rock, Petra, I'll build my church. The second rock is a feminine form. There's been a lot of discussion in various churches about what this all means. And for the Catholic Church, it meant that Peter was the one that was the foundation of the church. And Jesus would build his church on that foundation. But we know through looking at Scripture that Jesus is the foundation. And he says, and I will build my church. It's Jesus' church. But Peter was the first one to recognize the true nature of Jesus Christ. He was a rock, the first one of this church that was going to be built. And then others would be added all the way up to the present time and into the future time, however much time God has for us. He was a rock. In our epistle today, Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's telling them basically how they were to live out their calling as followers of Jesus Christ. He said, you're to be living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed. In recent months, recent days, we have seen a lot of darkness. We have seen the KKK, the white supremacists, the neo-Nazis marching. We've seen road rage. We've seen terrorists. We've heard hateful speech and a lot of darkness. Is that the mind of Christ? This last week, our whole nation was looking up to the sky. Well, if you had glasses, you were looking up to the sky. Because there was an eclipse. And many, many people drove great distances so they'd be in the totality of the eclipse. And that's when the moon passed between the sun and ourselves. And it looked like there was darkness. But as we look at pictures and as I read about the eclipse, there's never total darkness. There's a rim that shows. And there are flashes of light on the perimeter of the moon. And it was explained that those flashes of light on the perimeter of the moon, called Bailey's beads, were because there were valleys in the surface of the moon, and the sun, which was behind the moon, would shine through. Even in the darkest times, there is light. This last week, I believe it was on Monday, I was at Starbucks. And I saw a young man sitting over near where I usually like to sit. And he had his Bible in his lap. and he was studying scripture. And I passed by and I said, "Anything good in there?" He said, "It's all good." And it's dangerous to be around me on a week I'm preaching, because I'm going to be talking to people and getting feedback. So we started talking, started sharing scripture. And I heard 57 days ago, and I thought I heard what preceded it, but I wasn't sure. So I said, "I'm sorry, what did you say 57 days ago?" And he said, "My wife died 57 days ago." Our conversation took a different turn. And as we talked, now this is a young man, and it was an unexpected death. He started telling me about all the ways in which he could see God's hand, even before that happened, how God had been preparing him, and how afterward he has seen sweet things that God has done for him to reassure him of God's love, that he was not alone, and that he'd be okay. A few days later, this same young man came to Starbucks. I was a little late. He said he saw my car. I said, "I'm so glad you came, because I wanted to ask permission if I could share your story." And he said, "Absolutely, if it'll help anyone." Even in our darkest times, there is light. Sometimes it's in the valleys that we can see the light the brightest. Yes, we have dark times right now. But I wonder if God isn't going to bring good out of the bad. Joseph looked back and he saw that all the things that happened to him, the betrayal of his brothers, them wanting to kill him, the false imprisonment, all of that, was so he would be in the place that God needed him to be. What they meant for evil, God used for good. I wonder, in today's world, with our present circumstances, what God might bring out of our present darkness. What good might God be doing? Is it possible that God is causing us to look clearly at what's happening? Heather Heyer, in her last post on Facebook before a white supremacist ran over her and killed her with a car, said, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." Perhaps now that things are coming out into the light, we can address those issues, our latent racism, homophobia, anger, bitterness, fear of immigrants, fear of those who look different from ourselves. Bring that out into the light so we can address it. So we can start doing things to correct what we have done wrong in the past. Perhaps this is the time when God is causing us to look at one another and see the image of God in each other instead of looking at the differences. What is God doing? How is he going to bring good out of this? But we have to look to the light. The light is there. It's never fully extinguished. We're to come out of the shadows. And we're to look at the Son of God, and use our gifts, and there are many. And if we do that, what might our new name be? Might it be encourager, hope giver, truth teller, peacemaker, companion, comforter? We might be the light in someone else's valley. Amen. Amen.